Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about National Preparedness Month, making sure that you're able to live through and survive a national emergency, or I should say natural emergency. What do you need to know? Before the break, we were talking about addressing the safety of seniors and the handicapped. Tyrone, go ahead.
So, Harold, your caller has an excellent question. Of course, relatives, friends, neighbors, those people banding together to help people, help our seniors, help people with special needs is a very effective way to ensure their safety. We work with our human services agencies to understand where these populations are, critical issues that we may need to allocate specific resources to ensure their safety. Are there target locations? And as Chuck mentioned, shelters that can accommodate the elderly, people with special needs. But most importantly is things occurring early planning early, taking action early, and if you need help, reaching out for assistance early. That will guarantee a certain level of success.
Okay. Thank you so much. Jason, thank you for your phone call. Let's go to Keith calling from Waldorf. Keith, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm retired military and from the Army and the Air Force and Air Force Reserves also. We were required to be prepared to deploy within 72 hours. So I took that practice and I implemented that at home. I have a 72-hour bag, survival bag, prepared. And honestly, also I started, food that's on the side, canned goods. I checked the dates. I went out and I bought a used camper, secondhand camper, which really was pennies on a dollar, because if we have to evacuate, take for granted you can get a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
You can also plan to evacuate within, let's say, a 200 to 300 mile radius of the area that we're in. I mean, that's one thing I learned from being in the military. You have a plan where to evacuate to, because basically over half the population of Florida, over 2 million people, because there were five plus million people in the state of Florida or more, they evacuated and they went up into northern Florida and into Georgia, and the hotels are full in Georgia now.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can't take for granted you can get a hotel room. And if you have a camper, you only need a big one. You can get a camper. You can be prepared to move a number of your personal belongings as well, and you can definitely make sure that your family is safeguarded. I mean, we can't take for granted. Also, tools that you would need and have portable solar charging devices, units to charge your devices. I mean, these days you have a laptop, you have a tab, you have a cell phone. You have to think mobile always.
Mm-hmm. Excellent point, Keith. And we're not certainly trying to, to scare anyone, but I think that, these hurricane season is every year. Sometimes we have severe hurricane seasons, for example. Sometimes we have less severe hurricane seasons. But, Chuck, sometimes, a penny's worth of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Is that the saying?
Well, that's absolutely the motto of emergency preparedness. As a previous caller said, it really doesn't cost a lot of money. And then your existing caller was saying, just put the stuff together and have it ready to go. It really, that small little effort will take you a long way. So there's two additional things I think that need to be included in plans that I just want to make sure and we don't forget to do. If you're in a large-scale emergency, think about your important documents that you have in your house. Think of all the birth certificates, if you've got those in a file, your mortgage loans and those kinds of things. If you're in a flood and those, or a fire, those documents could get destroyed, and they're difficult to replace. Your passports, your driver's license, and things like that. And the other thing not to forget is your pets. Pets are a critical part of a lot of our family dynamics these days, and folks will not evacuate if pets are not going to be accommodated. So we set up our shelters to be able to accommodate pets now. But then you have to think about the supplies that you need to have ready to go if you're evacuating or taking your pet with you, or if you have to survive 72 hours, how is your pet going to survive 72 hours? So two additional things I think need to be considered.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith, thank you so much. And
okay, one more thing.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. I also started putting cash on the side, okay, smaller denominations, dollar bills, fives, tens, 20s, because if the power goes down, okay, ATM's down.
Yeah.
You have to have access to some cash. If you have smaller denominations, you may have that. That'll be handy.
Okay. Yeah, and we had mentioned that earlier, and so it's always good to remind us about that. So, again, Keith, thank you so much. Tyrone, real quick, I want to talk about some really specific things when you're talking about, you know, supplies. We're obviously talking, you know, Chuck was talking about water supplies and the like. One of the things that concerned me over the past couple of weeks is that people went to, you know, to these gas stations and they were filling up these containers. Should we be concerned about people carrying around several gallons of gasoline? Is there a danger? How should gasoline be stored if you are evacuating and trying to transport it so that you don't run out, for example?
Well, Harold, that's an excellent question. There are approved containers that anyone can go to a gas station and get 5 gallons or 10 gallons of gas. Normally they're 5 gallons or smaller. And people do this every day just to, you know, for lawn care and other issues. So they're putting it in the trunk, in the back of their truck. Going long distances poses some additional challenges. I'm not an expert in that area, but I understand the reasoning behind it. But it can present some special challenges. But if it's done safely, just as you would if you're going to get fuel to fuel up lawnmowers or other yard equipment, small tools, it can be done safely.
Chuck, your thoughts about that?
Yeah, and you know, so a lot of times too, folks are purchasing generators for their homes, mm-hmm. portable generators, and so there's a lot more of that handling of fuel, and so exactly as Tyrone said, get the DOT approved containers. These containers will vent. They'll hold the fuel supply securely and not leak. And do not use old milk jugs or other containers to put that fuel in. It is an extreme danger. When running the generators, there's
outside.
Another point of caution is make sure that you're not doing it inside the home or even inside your garage. The exhaust fumes from a generator really kill more people than they should because people are not running these generators properly. I've even heard stories of them running outside of windows to bedrooms
mm-hmm.
That are left where the windows left open because of no air conditioning, and the exhaust then gets into the home, and the carbon monoxide issues are what you have a problem with. So clearly, if you've got a generator, run it properly, read the instructions, and take care.
I only have a couple of minutes left. I'd like to have a couple of, you know, final thoughts. Tyrone, you first, when you're talking about making sure that you have all of your T's crossed and I's dotted in the event of a natural disaster.
Well, Harold, using the experiences that we see in the media every day, to learn from others as to what they dealt with, using those lessons as well as all of the preparedness information that we've directed your listeners to gain information, take some time while you have it to put a plan together, think through things that you may do in the event of an emergency. Also, having a weather radio is a good item to keep at home to have some redundancy and when you get alerts about severe weather. So simply just moving forward with taking steps to ensure that you've done all you can to ensure the safety of your family, friends, and loved ones is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. And final word from you, Chuck.
Yeah, preparedness is really not something you want to do when you hear an emergency is approaching. The time to do it is the time is the time in between emergencies. When you can stop, you can think clearly, you can make lists of various things that you think you might need. Because when an emergency strikes, if you think you're going to go to the store and find all that you need, you're immensely wrong. Because there will be huge lines. There, we saw it with both Houston and in Florida. Those stores were jam-packed. Supplies were limited. And folks really could not pull the materials in that they needed to be able to have a 72-hour supply. So in between emergencies is the time to plan. And that's the message I think people need to focus on.
I think that's a great way to wrap up this conversation. But I want to thank both of you, Tyrone Wells and Chuck Chrysostomo. Thank you so much for making sure that your communities in the counties where you work are safe. And certainly we hope that everyone takes this information to heart, because I suspect that this isn't the last that we will see of this difficult and challenging weather in our area or other parts of, the United States. So thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Monday, September 11th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.